today we have the lovely, wonderful, awesome friend, Frog Glasses!
Where am I?
I may or may have not kidnapped said guest this time, but it's okay! Welcome in, Frogs! how's it going?
I'm fine. Besides being tied up, it's fine.
Yeah, not to mention that once we hit the go button.
Oh, besides not being tied up, I'm pretty good.
We love instant improv. It's very fun.
Theater kid.
Theater kid, yeah. We find each other somehow. We always find other theater kids.
Yeah, it's probably like the ley lines. I don't know. Like we float up in the sky and we follow each other like a wave, like smelling like in a cartoon, you know. Yeah. What I mean? Yeah, anyway.
Oh gosh,
sniff you out.
You can sniff out the theater kids.
I can smell the heathers coming from you.
The heathers. Oh gosh, I'm excited already. To kind of kick things off today, I'm gonna ask you, when and why did you start creating content?
Ooh, really good question. I think what I started with, it was watching other people's content, obviously. I grew up on Minecraft videos, specifically ThinkNoodles. ThinkNoodles, if you ever listen to this, you're my bae. ThinkNoodles will never be listening to this, but it's still relevant.
It's put out into the universe now.
Yeah, it's now in the universe. But the idea was, like, I always wanted to do my own Minecraft videos back in the day. I don't do Minecraft videos now. For anyone that's wondering, I do art stuff. So mainly illustration, stuff like that, concept art thinking, basically. But I wanted to take things that I loved, which was art at the time, and I wanted to get known for it, I guess, because it was getting to the point where I was spending so much time on this craft that I love so much, and then no one is ever seeing it. So, yeah, I guess that's when I started taking it seriously, was after doing Twitch specifically, though.
That's really cool! Yo! How'd you come up with your name?
Oh, my name. So, you can't see this, but behind me there is a painting of a frog with glasses, and here's a funny little story. So, me and my mother went to China, and we went into an art gallery. We found this one frog, like, painting, that had, like, it was just a frog with glasses with multicolored skin or whatever, right? And I was like, I want that. And we got scammed out of £300 for this fucking painting. Because as soon as I go to the UK, I see the exact same painting. And then I search it up on Google, and I see, like, thousands of the exact same painting. I got scammed so
much. Oh my god!
So yeah, that's why my name is based off, anyway, frog glasses. Just a frog with glasses.
What?
I know. It was devastating. When I got back, I still love the painting, though. It's still a really nice painting, but...
But it's like... God damn it.
Yeah. It's about, like, £249 more than it should have been, kind of thing. And to think it was... the starting price was, like, 2,000. We, like, haggled. Yeah, we haggled for, like, hours while I was, like, looking through the...
I'm really glad place. That you guys didn't pay any more than 300.
Oh, I know. I will never buy art in an art gallery ever again.
Fair. Entirely fair and probably for the best.
As an artist, fuck art.
Fuck art galleries, man.
For real.
Oh, goodness. So... How did you decide when you started making content? How did you decide what forms of content you wanted to make? And then I know you had also talked about kind of going away from that and toward more of being an art content creator. What was that process kind of like?
So as a visual artist, most of my work started off on Instagram. I think I started around 3 or 4 years ago. It was just posting my art on Instagram. And after 3 years of basically no more interaction, I decided to kind of change it up and like start streaming when I started like watching Twitch. And it was also part of the YouTube thing where I was like, oh, I've always loved video content from the outside view, so I wanted to try that for myself. Ooh. So I get Twitch, I start doing my art on Twitch and finding all these communities, and I grew really quickly from these communities, like kind of insanely. So I think I got around 900 followers in my first 4 months of Twitch. So I, because I was in so many communities, I was kind of degen no lifing how much I was on Twitch, I can't lie. And it did pay off though, so.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yo. Yeah.
That's basically it. Because I feel like now, as visual artists, especially with the rise of TikTok and YouTube, not rise of YouTube, YouTube's always been rising, but anyway, video content is becoming more and more of a necessity for visual artists now than ever before. Because I don't think Instagram is now dying as a platform. Twitter, maybe. Tumblr, yes. But every other platform requires you to make video content of your art to actually grow. Right. And, you know, it's, I feel like now as we're moving away from like a long form content to a short form content world, it's going to be more and more important for like artists to learn video skills later on in life.
Right.
Hmm.
Hey!
I think that applies to most like creators, actually, honestly.
I would agree with that as well. Yeah. Because like you can still do like make content for fun and like not need to make video content, but it can help a bit. And there's just so much that you can do with it too, from like a creative aspect.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like a lot of artists right now are or content creators, sorry, are being forced to make the video content in a way that it's kind of, there's being a pushback of it, definitely, especially with everyone missing how Instagram was just Instagram and now it's just TikTok. But yeah, I'm hoping that we get back our long form society back so then we can, you know, slow down a little bit.
Yeah, that's
fair. It would be nice.
Honestly, I feel like, and especially when it comes to this kind of like this pendulum swing back and forth between like long form content being a favorable thing toward short form content. Can't talk for one, but for two. I feel like there's always going to be this constant swing back and forth just depending on kind of what the majority is engaged with, I guess is how I'll phrase it. Yeah.
Because, like, I'm thinking, like, right now, video essays, specifically, like, the 3-hour-long video essays about the random-ass topic that you have no experience in, is gained so much popularity recently
as,
like, a form of content in YouTube, which is really weird. I love it. I watched so many.
Oh, my God, yes!
And, like, an embarrassing amount of, like, video essays about random shit. But, honestly, now the TikTok was, like, the whole defining thing about like 2021, 2022, but now in 2023 we're going through the video essay era, and I'm living for it. I'm living for this longer form content. I think people are enjoying it and like getting quite tired of the constant Mr. Beast pacing.
Yeah,
videos.
Just that quick. This. New.
Exactly. Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. And it's also kind of it's interesting to me to see at the same time like this short form content with things flashing in your face like every single second passing by, like that is something that's still kind of huge, like from the 2020, 2021, 2022 like kind of like surge. But it's also kind of cool that at the same time the 3-hour video essay, like you had said, they're both like prevalent at the same time, like two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, true.
But yet they're both like, I don't know, they're kind of like equally popular right now. Or I don't know if I want to say equally, but like they're both within trends right now, I guess is how I'll phrase it.
I wonder if it's but our age as well, because we kind of grew up with like the rise of YouTube and
Vine.
Like gaming video. Yeah, Vine too, exactly. So I feel like there has always been this really quick paced, you know, type of content always.
As
a generation
age.
We're growing up. Yeah, maybe that's why. I don't know. So hopefully we'll mellow out and like get into the
chill the fuck out.
Yeah, we'll chill the fuck out and go back to our 10-minute runtime bullshit or whatever we had.
Is something that's kind of cool to think about though, and it's not exactly something that I've fully talked about yet on the podcast, but I'm excited to, which is why we're gonna talk about it right now.
Whoa! Segue. Like a segue from Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
It's true though, the fact that like when we were all growing up, or people within our age, like currently like early 20s, maybe late teens, but probably more early 20s, maybe even mid 20s, I'd say. The stuff that was coming out on YouTube when we were kind of coming up, it's cool to be able to look back and like we can follow the trends and the patterns, and we can kind of see how things from then have like morphed to now, and how that's not only changed kind of like patterns within content or trends, but also like what the current audience is into today, I guess.
Yeah, true.
And like, when things had first started out and they were, people were doing these like 10 to 20 minute videos, like it was awesome for a while, but then kind of like how things are happening now with TikTok and the short form content and how that's starting to kind of like lose a little bit of its attention, not too much, but it I feel like it's starting to get there a little bit, because it's just like things are so popular for like a good amount of time, but then it's people just reinventing the wheel, doing the same stuff over and over, and I feel like that's the point when it the trend then changes into another form of content, whatever it'll change to after the current short form and then also long form, who knows what it'll change into, but I feel like that's kind of a pattern.
Yeah, because like I think about things like how that's influenced like the big media companies, like the like 3-hour movies are now becoming more of a popular thing than the 2-hour movies. They went to 2 hours. They were like, what, I think it was 1 hour 30 minutes in like 2010, and then like it, in 2020 it was like 2 hours, then 2:30, now it's like 3 hours is like kind of the normal. So I wonder if that kind of like this weird pushback from big media is gonna affect us at all as well.
That will be really interesting to kind of like see play out too. I hadn't thought about that yet.
I honestly just thought about that, so
hey, innovative thoughts here. Whoa,
we're innovators.
Oh goodness. To kind of lead or keep kind of following with the conversation. What would you say is your favorite part about creation? It could be like things specifically within art or things overall as a content creator, and especially because you're in a position where you're both content creator and you have your background within the arts and art community. I want to hear both sides of the coin to kind of like get your experiences and perspectives from both.
Okay, this is going to be like the most boring answer ever to this really interesting question.
But it's all
I really like how this content creation has gotten me a job.
Hey, honestly
like,
though?
Like yeah, like, because
that's
pretty fucking big. Yeah, because I was looking for thousands upon thousands of placements recently for my uni work, and the only ones that ever got back to me were the social media ones, until recently, when there was this one company that saw all of the artwork that I did on social media, and they reached out to me, and they're like a good ethical company. I was like, damn, I'm not going to find this on organically. Yeah, so, but like, I think a lot of people kind of pass off social media as, you know, a thing that people do for fun. But in all honesty, it can be really beneficial for the future too. Obviously do it for fun and do it out of passion, but like it can be really, really good on the CV too.
Definitely.
Yeah. I guess besides that, like the actual fun things that I like about doing content creation, I have seen myself more as a comedian recently, which is real cringe. is peak cringe, but
we love looking at back at the stuff that we're putting out and then going, oh, why did I do that?
Yeah, exactly. But I've been like researching more into like comedy theory stuff, which just makes every joke unfunny. It's a double-edged sword, but but honestly, like it's been quite fun, and the idea of a comedian is cringe, but also I think seeing a comedian as more of an entertainer or someone that brings people value and joy is more, I want to say, noble. I'm going back to the cringe era. I'm like dipping my toe into the cringe pool.
sometimes it's gotta be done. We all gotta, it sucks. sucks to do, but like occasionally we just gotta that's it.
I think it just gives me the same gratification as making like a banger joke at the dinner table kind of thing, you know what I mean?
I also,
maybe it's a social acceptance, I don't know.
There you go. I do think that, or at least when it comes to, I'm sure this might be going a little bit off topic, but hey, we're talking about creation, which can vary wildly.
Oh, we're creating more topics. Okay.
When it comes to comedians, I find that the ones that I personally enjoy are not only the ones that, like, yeah, they can tell a good joke, but the ones that can kind of craft a story or like an experience that they're kind of like guiding you through verbally, those are the ones that kind of grab my attention the most, or the ones that are kind of like such natural like conversationalists, or they work so well off of an audience. Like there are those people that you know, like know when you see them, like that's a people person.
That's a funny person.
that's a person with the funny and the person with the communication skills.
Exactly, yeah. They tend to be the most tortured.
Oh my god.
That's not a reflection on me.
Cut the tape, cut it out. Fix it in post, Oh, goodness.
Oh my god. Yeah, but what other questions do you have?
The next one that I got on my list for you, this was something that when I had messaged you about getting together to record this contest? What? My brain is not awake, and I don't know why.
The content seeping into your gray matter, Wendell.
It's seeping into the brain! Let it in! Oh, God.
Let it in.
You can't control it.
Open the door. It's cold.
Oh god. So when it came to communicating with you to talk about the recording of this episode, go. I can somewhat English. One of the things that I wanted to get your thoughts on was something that we had kind of talked about a little bit, which was streamer friends.
Yeah.
Now that's not something that I know a little bit about stuff like that, but for my own knowledge and then also for the audience listening in, I kind of wanted to talk with you about like what goes on with that, like what does that term mean, what should newer content creators be aware of to avoid that if needed, and how does it affect communities of those involved with it?
Okay, so I guess I'll
just
define...
Bit of a big question.
Huge question, but I think I'll start with, like, defining what streamer friends is. Streamer friends doesn't have to be streamers, in my opinion. I think it could just be any person on your streaming platform. We're going to talk about Twitch specifically, because that's what I have the most experience in. But, for example, that could be any other streamers that you know, that you consider yourself mutuals with. I'm putting air quotes in real life. imagine I'm saying the air quotes anyway. So streamer friends, people that you mutuals in real life or outside of Twitch, or you meet them on the platform itself and you become friends from the platform. That one's really specific, because having friends that you also do Twitch but you know them IRL, completely different, like a completely different relationship somehow. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
There's something there.
There really is.
It's got a different tinge. It's like a different hue.
A little bit spice.
A little bit spicy.
Salt Bay meme commence. I guess my advice for newer content creators, I said earlier that I grew quite quickly on Twitch, specifically because of my community. And I had a lot of friends at the time that I made through Twitch. One thing I would say to newer content creators is that once you make a streamer friend, please keep up the connection with the streamer friend, because as soon as you drop it, as in, you know, you don't have to be there for every single chat or every single stream, that's kind of unreal, but as soon as you drop it completely, there's a switch in people's heads that goes off, and it happens for me too, and it's just like, oh, you immediately either don't like me or you're not interested in me anymore. It's very sad. It's very sad, especially if you know someone that was really really small and they got really popular as a result of you being there. And they got the, you know, they surpass you or whatever, and then sometimes they forget you. It happens. Yeah. But I would say be careful of, you know, obviously keeping up your relationships. Be friends for real and don't be friends for fake too, is something else. Recently, me and Wendell were in a project together, I will say, to keep this vague.
Yes.
We were in a project together, and there was a lot of other streamers in this project. Most of them were lovely people. However, there's this weird kind of wall, and I don't know if you also felt this, Wendell, but like there's this really weird kind of wall of everyone putting on a persona for each other. They speak to each other like it's a stream. They make business relationships instead of like friendships. Does that, do you feel that at all?
I can kind of get a little bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some certain people especially that that kind of like portrayed this to me. But honestly, in my opinion, if you guys want to make actual friends on Twitch, and that is the most powerful thing you can make is actual friends and actual connections, real connections, then what you want to do is let your guard down.
Yeah.
Let your guard down and don't be a weird streamer in other people's chat. Don't be a streamer. Be a person. Be a chat member, you know? Because there's so many times where people would come into my chat and they will immediately turn the conversation to talk about their type of content. You know, it's obviously like a segue to talk about their own thing. And as a streamer, you're like, oh, this is diverging from the content, this conversation. So I'm going to maybe ignore this, or you lean into it. Honestly, sometimes leaning into it is a very, very good choice. Like, promoting your community and promoting, like, people that you actually believe in is a good thing, and people should be doing that. You know, depending, well, actually, don't...
With everything, there's a, yeah. There's a line. There's a line between when it's, I guess I'll say healthy, and then there's a line when it gets towards the not-so-good,
Yeah, of course.
Situations.
Do you have any experience with that, especially as, like, a game streamer? Because I feel like game promotion generally is a lot tougher than the art promotion world, I guess.
I've heard many stories. I kind of keep to myself when in my personal experience with content creation, especially towards the beginning, I mainly stuck within myself and my own content. Sure, I would collab with a couple people here and there, but it would be for like one shot based things, like one stream of playing a certain game. Never really any bigger projects. The first thing that I was actually a part of was that project that we were both together in. That was kind of the first big thing that I was a part of to be able to interact with other creators in that kind of, I don't know if I want to say context, just because I can't think of a better word.
Setting?
Setting, yeah. That was the first time I'd ever been in that. And during the start of it, that was actually when I kind of dipped from content for a little bit for some IRL stuff. So even then, I didn't even really get to do that. Or I didn't, like, experience it, any of it myself. But I've heard from other creators, other friends who also stream, stories about situations like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of like two-facedness to the streaming friendship community.
There definitely
streaming
can
friendship
be.
Community.
The fact that that's a phrase.
That's not a phrase. I just made those words up.
Oh,
those
okay. I was
real.
Gonna say. Like, I was gonna say, if that's the thing, then oh boy, that's something that I we guess... gotta work on that. Streamers.
I'm saying, like. Yeah, there's a two-facedness to, like, friendship on Twitch, I would say specifically. Or friendship in any platform as a creator. Because I think everyone wants to benefit themselves. That is an obvious truth that I don't think anyone's, you know, against. Like, obviously, yeah, promote yourself if you're with another good creator.
Right.
Like, that makes sense.
Again, there's a line.
There's a line,
to when it
becomes
dangerous.
Yeah, and it's, so... This is a one thing I want to talk about as well, is that when you're making friendships or when you're streaming just generally, you need to kind of separate yourself and your streamness, if that makes any sense. Not so much build a persona, I will talk about that later, I think. But the idea of separating your personal self from the rest of your online world is very, very important.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And not just important. And not just important because people say it's important because, like, it's detrimental to, like, both your health, your health, your relationships, your entire being as a person, which I guess I'll talk about later.
I definitely agree with you on that. Like, it's not to, like, oh, you can't show people who you really are. No, it's for your safety. And, like, when it comes to streaming, that's kind of, like, the number one thing. Please be safe. It's all about you as a person, gotta protect yourself, because if you don't, then you're gonna end up hating streaming, or something is gonna happen that's not so safe for you, and that's never good.
Yeah, I've recently kind of reinstated the importance of building a really strong community, a really strong and good community. Like, there's so many moments where pretty young audience members will come into my chat and they won't kind of get the humor that's going on, and they'll just say some random shit, and it's like, this is completely off topic and this completely disrupts the flow of everything we're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's coming down on things like that. It's because a lot of the time the people don't know.
Right.
A lot of the time they don't know, so they'll just be like, oh, sorry, I didn't know, realize, and they'll just correct themselves. Sometimes they're doing it deliberately, and then, you know, time them out once, and then see what goes
how
on from,
it goes
there.
From there.
Yeah, exactly. It's always quite nerve-wracking whenever, like, moderation stuff like that happens. It's quite, I don't want to say upsetting, but it's quite,
It's just like, in the moment, it's like, oh god.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah,
oh god.
It feels so like, ooh, I don't like that, ooh.
Yep! And then, oh god, it's... Okay, it's going to happen during stream, because, like, obviously that's when people chat, but when it's happening during a chaotic moment in stream, that is so much worse, just because my brain's already all over the place, and it's like, oh god, that's happening, this is happening, that's happening, what the fuck do I focus on first?
It's the worst when, like, you're in the funny groove, and, like, you're so funny, and like everyone in chat is so funny, and then one person's like, slur, and I'm like, no! No! I can't play off this, I gotta be serious.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's never fun.
No, seriously.
Never goodness. Fun. would you also want to kind of bring up the importance of, like, bringing or keeping good people and creators around you then in that sense to kind of play the opposite side of the coin?
So speaking about that project that we were on, there was some creators that I had some not great interactions with first time. Like, there was some stuff. That was a B-Real notification you just heard in the background. Anyway, I hope that didn't pick up. I don't worry. Anyway, it's really important to keep good creators around you, obviously, because your community will be shaped by others' community. Imagine it more like how friendship groups collide. If you have one person that's really nice, and they have a really nice friendship group, and they collide with yours, then, you know, you have a bigger, better friendship group. Now, say if you had someone that had a bad friendship group, then you have, like, this weird divide in the middle where this, the friend of the two groups gets separated off, right? And they have to choose. And so it's beneficial for you to make friends with good people and good communities as well. Make sure the communities are nice. They're your, I want to say target, but basically your vibe. And kind of keep them around you. Because you're going to benefit from that. They're going to benefit from that. Everyone will be happy and comfortable with each other, opposed to people being horribly, horribly stressed out by the people in chat. So, you know. Yeah. I think, generally, keeping a good circle around you is the most important thing streaming-wise from mental health, too, actually.
Yes. Oh my god. It affects it so much. Mm-hmm. There's so much that comes into play with it. And kind of, to kind of lean more into that line of mental health and streaming, something else that I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on is, where is the line of when content creation becomes job-like? And then, like, how does that affect a content creator's relationship with content and their ability to make it?
Yeah, so...
content, I mean.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to...
No, it's fine. So this is the probably going to be the biggest question, but... Ooh. I have my thoughts on this.
Hey, okay, so... we have the notes.
we have nodes in my head. Anyway, so at a point, so every content creation or creator starts off in, like, the same pipeline from what I've heard. So basically they do it as a point of passion and interest, right? Interest then becomes passion, then becomes drive, then becomes job. Because at a certain point, you cannot do... Or it's very rare that people become, like, good content creators or very popular or financially stable content creators without making their work job-like at all. Maybe this is upload schedule, maybe this is frequency of uploads, stuff that you have to make, you know. It really depends on what. as a graphic designer outside of streaming, I learned a lot about branding really early on, and I watched this one YouTube series by fucking Ashley Christ, I think it was, that talked about like how to gain viewers in your stream, right? Mm-hmm. And she was talking about like all these like very weird marketing things, right? And then turns out, a week later, first year of graphic design uni, I learned about everything she talks about.
Yeah.
Before beta. So just like a tip for anyone that's getting into content creation, watch that series by Ashley Christ. And also learn about personal marketing. Marketing and target audience and persona and quote unquote brand persona, we'll talk about that in a second, are really important to gaining a following on Twitch, because I'm going to say Twitch specifically, I mean any social media. YouTube is especially also subject to this advice I'm going to say, but you know. The idea is that you are not a person when you are streaming. And now, hear me out. When you are streaming, you are thinking of both your brand ideals, your goals, your tone of voice. You're trying to be consistent. You're trying to make sure that your viewers feel the exact same emotions that you want to feel and like portray, right? Mm-hmm. It might sound really bleak to think that a content creator is manipulating every second they're interacting with their viewers, but in a sense, it's necessary. Not in a, you know, manipulating as in, buy my merchandise, you children, but like in a more, oh, I want you guys to feel happy now kind of way, right? Your persona kind of needs to, at some point as well, be separated from your real life. I think in real life, I'm way more mellow, way more random. I forget, way more shit. I'm way more imperfect. I'm a human, obviously. Right,
but then streamers on stream are imperfect.
Exactly.
Our persona may not be, but we are, we ourselves are.
Exactly. And like it's things like when I go on Twitch, I wear makeup every single stream, right? It's not even because I want myself to look better, it's because I know that people will respond better if I look smoother. It is just being backed up by numbers, sadly. And it's a state of where we live in society, whatever, you know, but
in society,
society,
it always comes in the way.
It always does. But yeah, so as a result of you being a brand or being, I'm going to say brand in this, by brand, I mean someone that is fabricated, right? Someone that isn't quite real in real life. This is also linking back to when I said, people and streamer friends that you meet in real life are way different from their stream. It's
yes,
very true.
It is extremely true. It's okay people for can't them not hide. To be the same.
Oh, it's so fine. It's so fine. But like, people cannot hide what they're like when they're in front of you.
Yeah.
It's really hard. So what I'm trying to say by being a brand is that parasociality and parasocial relationships, so that is a relationship where the where the viewers love the streamer, but the streamer doesn't know who the hell the viewers are personally. So parasociality is actually meant to happen. And as in branding theory, in graphic design, literally written down in history books theory, mm-hmm. Parasociality is kind of the goal, which is kind of a bad, because we live in an age where there's so many different creators and there's so many outlets and ways for young, very impressionable people to be exploited. So,
yep.
Yeah. But parasociality in a nice way. So, you know, you see a small streamer and you're like, I like this small streamer. I'm going to watch them. And then they're nice to you. That's a level of parasociality to some point and some degree, right? But it's meant to happen. For example, the brand Coca-Cola, their tone of voice, I think, is three words, or something like family, joyful, and happiness, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So every single advert they have a picture of, like, a family. They always have very bubbly, bright lights all the time. And the idea is that they make the audience feel familiarized with those experiences and those memories of family and happiness from their, you know, context of life. So let's take an example of we have a streamer called name a random object, Wendell.
Laptop.
Laptop. So Laptop is a streamer that wants their audience to feel a lot of drama. They want their audience to feel a lot of violent emotions that are going, you know, side to side. So, yeah, we're going to say violent emotions, and we're going to go completely radical, actually. Let's just say radical emotions, right? Mm-hmm. So, we know that, so Laptop goes and makes the most outrageous content available, right? This fulfills their goal and gets their audience. And parasocially, there's people that will agree with their radical takes, and there are people that won't. On a smaller scale, with normal people that have way less radical views, like the view of, oh, I like pineapple on pizza, or I don't like pineapple on pizza. You know, it's views like that make people relate to you. And what I'm trying to say about the job-like thing, coming back to the topic... It all ties together, is that someone's opinion on Twitch is not always representative of what they would feel in real life. Most of the time it's not, and that's why you must become job-like at some point, because you are no longer a person. If, for a sad truth, you're no longer a person, and you're probably not listening to people right now. We are AI, I am joking. We are deepfakes.
Psych, bitch. This podcast is fake.
We blow up. we explode on the spot. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's if you want to become popular as a creator, you need to have this level of parasociality. It is just like a fact of branding and how successful companies or businesses survive, right? So treating your hobby like a job undoubtedly makes it more successful. You'll obviously get more success if you treat it like a job. It will make it way sadder, though, which is why which is why I think when you treat content creation like a job, you do need to distance yourself from it completely. And treat it like a separate thing, separate from your person. Which is why I don't think people should make a persona for themselves. I feel like they should be authentic. But you should be authentic within reason.
Still have, at least have a wall for yourself.
Yeah.
That you can, definitely. Like, kind of place, quote unquote, place yourself behind to protect yourselves when things within your chat or comment section, when things like that do happen, just because it is mm-hmm. for your own safety. Like, sure, I try to be as authentic as I can be, but I know that there has to be a point where I need to put up that wall for myself, for my own boundaries, my own safety, mental health, and all of that. It is extremely important.
Like, oh my god, this is a... So, speaking on the parasociality, right? There's a lot of times where the parasociality will go two ways, actually, and the streamer will like a viewer way more than the other ones, maybe because they're funny.
Right.
For me, it's usually because they're funny. And then they'll DM me, and I'll be like, oh my god, I want to talk to this person. But then also I'm like, oh, if I talk to this person, then I have to accept every DM from every unfunny, malicious person that does text me. So, it's... You need to put up those kind of boundaries for yourself. And... kind of put that air of, oh, I actually don't care about you. And be honest. Be really honest about the parasociality thing as well. Be like, oh, I don't know you.
Yeah. Don't try to be nice because you're mm-hmm. afraid of hurting other people's feelings. It's okay.
Hurt other people's feelings.
Destroy other people's feelings.
Destroy their feelings.
Feel
don't do that.
No guilt.
But yeah, honestly, that's about it.
No, that's the thing, though. This is something mm-hmm. that is extremely important and needs to be talked about.
I don't
know if this is something that stream... And especially because, like, when a streamer or a content creator is making their content or streaming, they in the moment, unless this is the kind of content that they put out, I don't think that this is something that is really talked about much or a lot. Like, a lot of people's views on this thing aren't really
definitely.
Spoken about. And if we can at least make it more of, like, a known thing, maybe, mm-hmm. like, because there are a good amount of streamers that know and have experienced stuff like that. There's newer streamers that probably haven't. But, like, if we can have accounts and things like this, and even for viewers and audiences to kind of look at and see, like, oh, that's something that comes into play or that happens. I, like, never knew that. Or, like, oh, that's something to, like, be aware mm-hmm. of. or just
I think also like viewers are genuinely really 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 interested in this, because when I was first learning about all that branding stuff I was talking about, I was talking a lot about that to my audience and they responded so well. They were so interested every single time I talked about it.
They love behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, they love behind the scenes stuff because it's not really supposed to be in front, so it feels like a secret, you know, adds that little bit of value, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So do
that's all I had.
Sorry, I thought I cut you off and I was like, uh oh, wait. I love it. To kind of keep the conversation going in terms mm-hmm. of like protecting yourself as a streamer, as a person, having that barrier, boundary, separation, I want to talk about it from a bit of a broader perspective, because there are a good amount of streamers that know and talk about these kind of things, but I also want to get your thoughts on it. How much of a priority mm-hmm. do you think creators should make their mental health? And do you think platforms make it a priority for their creators?
No.
Yeah, there it is.
Short answer, no. I will come back to that one, though. I think as a priority, obviously, again, you as a creator are not a person. You in a real life are a person. Prioritize your real health, because the person on screen isn't a real person, like I said.
And to be able to keep bringing up that person, you have to be okay yourself.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, long-term sustainability of content doesn't really happen with a good mental health. With a bad mental health, sorry. I was going through some of my worst stuff personally when I was getting the most views, actually. I was getting to a point where I was able to hit partner actually quite soon.
Yo.
But then my mental health plummeted so much, I was like, this is dangerous.
This is awful.
Like, imagine if I was partnered, and then what would I do? You know? Like, what sacrifices am I willing to make for some check mark that doesn't mean anything in the real world? Please remember that all of the things that you do online aren't real. Like, what you want people to see is real, but they're not real.
Yeah.
Same thing with skin.
Yeah.
But anyway. Priority, platforms. Oh, yeah. Platforms don't make mental health priority at all. Especially, I'm going to say Twitch now is favoring way longer streams. Like, absurdly long streams over frequency, which is annoying.
Weird
change. But now, because I changed streaming schedules recently to accommodate this, and also for like personal reasons, because I wanted a weekend.
Hey,
filled my good. Both weekend slots with a stream, which was really dumb of me, but anyway. So now instead of streaming 3 hours, I stream 5, which is quite
a
big
difference.
Jump.
Yeah,
it's quite a big jump. But now, okay, about taking priority with the mental health, coming back to this question, and then we're gonna go back to this topic, right?
Okay.
So I stream 3 hours, 5 hours now instead of 3, and in the middle at 2:30 I take a break and my moderators come on for a couple minutes. I eat food and I come back. That is amazing. Oh my god, take a break during streaming. It's not gonna lose your audience. Just get some videos on in the background or something. Like, please,
or set up marbles or something.
You cannot be funny if you are tired. You cannot
or
be
hungry,
entertaining and
or
you
thirsty.
Yeah,
take care of your needs.
Literally, you cannot like provide value for your audience if you're tired as shit, or you can't think about it. You will just forget if you're tired. So do that. platforms priority, right? Twitch doesn't make, especially Twitch doesn't make mental health priority. TikTok is terrible for this, because it wants you to produce video content so frequently, and video content takes time. Obviously, TikTok's length, a video is quite short, but it doesn't negate how much time is spent into a lot of, like, specialized creators, that take, like, absurdly long video editing or something like that, or artists.
Or
this is, again, when I'm going to talk about artists. Yeah. Because the thing about, like, about artists and specifically, sorry, illustrators, you know what I'm talking about, is that we spend hours upon hours on our artwork and we put it out as one image. So usually, at least, typically. So the amount of like time and work that goes into one, just one, in the graphic design world, is called Touchpoint, by the way. Touchpoint is basically whatever platform or whatever time an audience is interacting with a thing. For a Coca-Cola can, it'd be Coca-Cola can, Coca-Cola advertising, Coca-Cola commercial. You get what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah.
So as an artist, we create one touch point, which is an image, and we spend 48 hours on it, in my case, and it's terrible. Yeah, I spent 48 hours on my last art piece, and it got 50 likes, and I was like, damn, that was it. I was like, damn, I almost trumped the amount of time I spent on it in hours. But anyway, it's there's a bit of salt. There's not actually. I'm fine.
But it's still just it is the fact of like so much more work goes into that than people may think or realize.
Yeah, exactly. There was one more like scenes
that can go into it.
Yeah, for real. There was one like short video I saw about like the marketing strategy behind like Lil Nas X. When he made his first like music video, like I'm gonna take my horse to the O-Town Road, that one, he made like 1,000 memes himself about it. Like, he made so much promotion for that one song, and at the time I don't think he had like a very big discography of songs. Not during that time. I think that was like his like one song, right?
Yeah, that was his first hit.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. The idea is that you should be doing more promotion than creating, is the rule they said, but I don't know how much of this I agree with or how much I disagree, but that I'm just spooting verbatim. Spooting verbatim? Excuse me. Fucking what? That wasn't a word. I just like took a second there. Wait, what the? Spooting? Oh, gross.
It's the new summer trend. Ew.
I'm sorry. Oh my god.
Oh, that is hilarious.
But yeah, promoting more instead of actually creating is you're kind of
it
hit.
Seems opposite of what it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does, but when you think about it, it makes sense. Like every big creator gets popular from like Twitch streamers do YouTube, right? Because YouTube can be found on a different platform. For example, let's take what's a streamer that blew up really quickly? Oh, Tommy Innit, right? Tommy Innit was a creator that blew up really quickly. He made his streams, he did his hours of content on there, and then he took those, distilled it down to a couple minutes, and then promoted it, and then kept promoting it on YouTube and Twitch and Instagram, whatever the hell you use it, I don't know. But the idea is that you should be, in hours, spending more time on the promotion than the actual making.
Yeah. Which it feels weird.
Yeah. Like, which is coming back to the topic, bad for mental health.
Hey.
There we go. I guess like if companies and platforms wanted to actually, you know, make it better for their creators, which they do want to do, it's better for themselves as companies in the long run.
It would provide them the longevity to keep their companies going, but
yeah, literally. I think that's why TikTok is that's why Vine fucking died, at least, and that's why Instagram is now dying, because like the influencers there are not getting enough pay for what they're like getting
they're
out of it
out. Yeah,
yeah. But the idea is I think they should just pay more. Be less greedy, or push for an algorithm that doesn't like push the most outrageous, like racist, weird content out to the forefront because it gets views. I think there should definitely be a reimagining of the idea of like viewer retention, definitely.
Yeah.
And instead looking for channels that like provide value instead of providing clickbaitiness. Yeah. Even though clickbaitiness is working.
Yeah, and that's it's sad that's the only reason they won't, because of the fact that it's working.
Live in a society.
Yeah, we live in a society, and it don't do such great things. Okay, yeah. So to kind of keep walking along in terms of the conversations about the platforms, what are your thoughts? Here we go. Every time I ask this question, it gets the reaction. What do you think about the current situations happening among Twitch, Kick, and other streaming platforms right now?
I honestly don't know anything about fucking Kick. And
it's not looking great so far.
from what I can probably like infer is that they're not paying their creators enough.
Kick?
That's I don't actually know. I know nothing about a Kick.
So,
Do you want to explain actually? Yes. For the longevity of this podcast too.
Yeah. When it comes to Kick, they're actually currently the highest in terms of paying. Like they've surpassed Twitch, which is why it is so popular for some creators to like as to why they're swapping over, because they're paying more. But they don't really have a terms of service. They don't really have a way to ban people, which is why a lot of people that are problematic and banned from Twitch and all of these other platforms have made their place on Kick. So it's not really safe for creators or their communities as of yet. What else can I talk about? They don't really have the terms of service. They can't really ban people. They had someone who I think was an Andrew Tate supporter as one of their kind of like faces for Kick for a little bit. I don't know what happened with that.
The biggest L.
Yeah, it was not great.
That's a company L right there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Corporate L.
Oh, and there's a lot of stuff in terms of like the things that people are streaming on there, because there's terms of service, they can't really regulate that. And so there's a lot of stuff that's not either really appropriate or not safe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like, the issues with Kick.
Is there age verification on it?
I don't know, to be honest. I genuinely am not really sure. There's a lot in terms of that with Kick, but in terms of Twitch not paying people, was that a thing that you had started to say a little bit? Or was that something else?
I don't remember now.
That's okay. I essentially wanted to get your thoughts on kind of like what are, as a content creator, what are your thoughts towards the things that are kind of currently happening or are popping up?
I think that Twitch right now seems pretty stable as a platform. I don't think it's going anywhere. Unless it pays its creators less, then probably maybe.
Yeah, if it keeps fucking up, then it might not.
Yeah.
But well, honestly, it's kind of a toss up right now of what the fuck's gonna happen with Twitch.
For real. I think Kick will follow the exact same trajectory as Tumblr in the early 2000s, where it was like full of porn and full of like maybe not the greatest safe work stuff, and then like a lore will come out or they will get under fire from suing cases or whatever the hell, and then they'll change and they'll have a terms of service, and then like people will leave because the reason why they're on Kick in the first place is to see those two on terms of serviceable things, and then it'll die.
Yeah.
YouTube, when have I ever seen a YouTube live stream? Like, where do you find them? I'm genuinely asking. Like, I don't know.
Sometimes they, like, when you go to your YouTube page, if someone is currently streaming, it'll, like, show up among your video suggestions, but in terms of where to find them...
Yeah, do you have to be subscribed to them in the beginning?
Okay, so you know how on the left side of your YouTube page, it'll show you subscriptions? If they're streaming, it'll have a little red like a red light next to it. But in terms of where to find the streaming portion of YouTube, I don't know. No. Under Explore, there's Live.
That's
stream 2 days ago. Stream 2 days ago. Oh,
really?
Now here's people that are live now. Recent live streams. So it does save, which is kind of cool that like YouTube does save your VODs and everything because it's YouTube. But in terms of the live page, it is awful compared to Twitch. Discoverability.
I'm looking at it now and it just like, in terms of like, YouTube has a good sense of what I like as a content person, as someone that, you know, watches videos, so I don't know why they're promoting this.
Oh no!
Like CSGO? When have I ever seen a CSGO? Where is he going?
Oh no! Why did you think I would like this?
Yeah, exactly. Sky okay. News. Ugh. Anyway,
to keep yeah. things rolling along, what are some things that you wish social media platforms had for tools for content creators? Like, is there anything that you'd wish they would change, add, update, anything that they could either expand upon more to kind of give more tools to creators?
That's a really interesting one. I think, okay, content creation as a whole, I don't have many ideas. Specific.
It is a bit vague.
Yeah, specific to like the
large topic.
Yeah, I think specifically to the art community right now, we need like filters for AI stuff. So then copyright can't be infringed like that. I think, oh my god, a music library. They need better music libraries, like free copyright free DMCA fucking free music libraries. Twitch kind of has one, but it has like the same 6 songs in the fucking jazz category.
Yeah,
and I cannot listen to those songs any longer.
I stopped listening to Twitch's because I used theirs for a good little bit, and then I was like, this is literally the same shit over and over. I will go mad. I can't.
And I'm sorry, I think his name was David Cox or something like that, but like, I'm so sorry, but I cannot listen to your fucking Blues in New York one more goddamn time. I will die. I will actually perish into a puddle.
A puddle of jazz.
A puddle of jazz. but yeah, I think genuinely more copyright-free or closer and easier to sniff out copyright-free stuff.
Right.
Because even like, the copyright-free stuff that's even on YouTube, it's, like, just not copyright-free if you have the exact same playlist on your stream and you upload it to YouTube. It's like, what the
what?
Fuck? Yeah.
That's
yeah,
weird
I don't
as
know.
Fuck.
I know, it's weird. I honestly have no ideas for TikTok. TikTok feels like the platform that will evolve every 3 seconds.
Honestly,
they added,
yeah.
Like, a couple months back, they added the fucking BeReal clone thing, and I was like, okay, now I have no idea where this app is going.
I didn't like, hear about actually, that. I think the last thing that I'd heard in terms of updates, because I haven't paid attention to TikTok in a hot ass minute, was them introducing the like 10-minute videos.
I haven't even got the 10-minute videos yet. I haven't got that option.
I remember them talking about that. I don't know if they ever actually went through it.
As of recording, yeah.
Yeah, I think the
one thing that I think TikTok did pretty well that no other site has done so far was add CapCut into TikTok services. So basically, if there's like an anime edit or something that you like, you can take that template and you can put it into CapCut, which will video edit your video to that, which I think is great because I think video editing is also something that generally now video platforms are being bigger, like I said earlier, so video editing is going to become more of a necessity, so they should make it easier.
Yeah, honestly, I'm very curious to see how video editing, especially because of how much of a variety of things it's used for now, and how that's probably going to keep expanding. I'm very curious to see how trends in video editing and audio editing and producing, even when it comes to like production of videos itself, I'm very curious to see how that's going to evolve and change over hell, even the next 10 years. Like, say within, like, what is going to happen with content creation within 2020s? We've seen how it's looking so far for the past 3 years, but like, what's going to happen in the next 7 years? What's going to happen in the next 10 years? How are things going to kind of change and evolve from there?
Yeah, I've noticed like a weird trend of more, well, not really a weird trend, I quite like it, but where more creators are like making their videos into art and then like switching between the give you value as Mr. Beast, you know, where they'll do the little content creation strategies where they'll give you something to look at every 3 minutes or whatever, but they make it a lot more artful and more tasteful. And I think that's I think
cool
the next
change.
Trajectory of where we're gonna go in terms of content styles. I think people are getting kind of sick of the big captions zooming onto screen at the bottom of video. You guys know what I'm talking about.
The attention grabber.
Yeah, impact
stuff.
Font, you know.
Yeah! And honestly, I'm so fucking happy that era is almost ending!
Yeah, like,
I want
it's quite annoying.
The tasteful, the stuff that has the meaning more than the attention grabbing. Like,
people
should be able to like stuff because of this, like, because of the art instead of just, ooh, attention.
Yeah.
Like, some of the stuff that they've been able to do is good. Sorry, and I don't mean to cut you off.
No, 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 it's fine. Go on.
Some of the stuff that people have been able to do and make within this era of that attention grabbing, like, it has been cool, but it's got to change. It's getting a little bit old.
Yeah, I think there's, it has the exact same, like, effect as corporate art. You guys know, like, the Google's art style or fucking, I don't know, Microsoft art style. You know what I mean? Everyone knows what that means. That one picture of, like, the mother eating their child, but in the Google art style. One person's gonna get my joke. One person's gonna get my joke. Anyway. content creation like that, fast pace, big subtitles at the bottom, that's becoming to look more like that now. Where people are noticing this trend and it's so obvious and so blatant that people are getting annoyed by it.
Yes.
Same thing with like minimal logos for some reason. People are getting so mad at redesigns of those. Sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for less good reasons. But like the idea is that people are now realizing this is a brand and they're going to start rebelling against it and start promoting individualism as society usually does in terms of like art renaissance.
Yes.
Or like historically. So the weirder shit will come out first. Now, think of this, is like,
it's true.
Like, think of this as like, films like Spider-Verse, for example. The new Spider-Verse movie came out, so this is topical. For now. For now. The second Spider-Verse movie, at least, anyway. So, that movie's really, really, really experimental with the style and, like, the artness of it, right? And it's been this big domino effect after the first Spider-Verse happened, where a load of other movies were doing this experimental kind of stuff. Like, Puss in Boots came out, there's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that's about to come out recently, that's like a really, really cool animation style. But it has this huge domino effect over everything, where one piece of media will be really individual and really cool,
and then
everyone else will follow suit until it's normal, and then everyone will want it gone. This is why we don't buy fast fashion. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, same problem. Anyway.
Yeah. And it's kind of... Maybe this will have to be a topic for another podcast episode, is kind of that, like, fast production and, like, kind of, like, the detrimental, like, aspects of it and, like, how that's relating to content. But that it is very much true in terms of, like, those same cycles of, like, quote-unquote, like, art renaissance. It's going to be a content renaissance, and I'm honestly extremely excited to see what comes out on the other side of that.
Yeah, because like we had a content renaissance when gaming videos started being less popular.
Where,
like, obviously they were like so popular in like 2010s, 2020s, right? And then they started falling off, and now video essays are the popular thing. We're gonna get another content thing where probably like skits are gonna come back or some shit like that.
I mean, skits.
They're kind of coming back on TikTok right now, actually.
Yeah, so, and like YouTube Shorts.
Yeah, true. So hopefully we'll see something good come out of it, and not something trendy and annoying.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
All right, well, Frog, this has been an amazing talk so far. We got just two other questions to kind of talk about and go through, and then we're going to be at the end. But I did want to thank you for taking time out of your day to talk with us about these really cool topics.
Of course, thank you for having me on.
Anytime, seriously. To
can
kinda...
I now be let out?
not quite. Two questions. And to start it off, are there any future projects or ideas of things that you've got going on in the future that you want to shout out or talk about the process of so far? Anything you kind of want to talk about that you're excited about or anything like that?
Well, right now, which is going to be very much not relevant when this comes out, probably, but I'm doing a charity stream for the Trevor Project. So, and I want to talk about, like, the process of, very, very briefly talk about the process of making all of the stuff for it. God, it's so much more work than I think it is. I always think it's going to be, like, a little bit of work, but then you're like, reaching out to a company and getting a link from a company, and that means I have to do things, like make my own graphics, which sucks. I hate making my own graphics, even though I think they look good, I don't like doing it.
I'll do it, but I'm not gonna be happy.
I am planning to start up YouTube, like actual becoming YouTuber YouTube.
Yo, Frog YouTube arc.
Yeah, I'm starting a series actually. I'm starting to edit a series called I think Flora Things, where I go out into the wild and I draw random shit with no plan, because
Yo!
I really wanted to slow down my life, so I wanted to take that step and show it on camera for everyone, I guess.
Honestly,
You know?
good on you. Like,
Yeah.
that's something that I don't think people talk about at all with content creation is like, it's okay to slow down.
It's okay to slow down,
It's
and
okay to
people
slow
want
down.
to.
Yes.
So people have the
It's
need to
not
slow
just a
down, so maybe
respite
if you
for
just show
you.
them. Yeah.
It can be for them as well.
I guess another thing I want to shout out is that I have got a video coming out in the ideas works, so this might be relevant when this comes out. Is I'm going to make a video essay on the gay art style. Like this art style that everyone sees everywhere from every streaming community. You'll know what it looks like when you see it. It's the Tumblr, it's the Super Hoolock, it's all of that. I want to talk about like how all of that works, where it come from, why is it a thing, and is it getting driven out of creators as a result of marginalized education? It's a whole issue that I want to talk about and dive into because I haven't seen anyone talk about it, so.
You're gonna have to send me the link to that, 'cause holy shit, that sounds amazing. That sounds
Thank
so cool. Yo!
you. Thank you.
Oh gosh, before actually, I'm just gonna do it right now. Guys, if you want to check out Frog, go check him out at twitch.tv/frog_glasses, instagram.com/frog_glasses, or in the description, there's gonna be a card link for all of the cool places that you can go. Follow Frog, catch up on the stuff that they're gonna be posting and putting out in the next couple of weeks. Check out the. I'll just in case this isn't out before the stream, I'll probably post about it in my Discord. But go check it out. Support, do all the cool things. A
Send
final
me hate
question.
comments.
No! Oh my
Send me terrible degrading hate comments.
god,
Yeah, I'm into it. I'm into
no! No! Oh my god! Just do it! I can take it! I can take
I can take it. Got thick skin.
it! Oh my god. One last thing before we close it out for the episode. Do you got any advice for people just starting out, either with content creation or arts?
I will say take your time. You're doing okay, you're doing fine, you are good at this, just you'll take time to improve. Take your time, build friends, please build genuine friend groups around you and support networks, and look a little bit into marketing if you want to get like a job out of this. If you don't look into marketing.
You don't
Be
have to.
free.
Be free!
Be free. You're okay. You can post your TikTok once a month. No one's gonna care. It's okay.
Well, they'll like
They'll
it.
care in yeah, they'll
But
like
like
it. No, yeah,
they're
sorry.
not
Oopsie.
they're not they're not gonna be like, oh, this is only once a month. What are you doing? No, they'll be happy with you posting anything. And which is I knew what you meant, but I was like, I gotta say something.
Not me telling the
Yeah,
generation of
no one's
people
gonna
who don't
care.
care.
Just no one will care. It's fine. Do it anyway. It's okay. Just no
Yeah.
one will care. It's okay.
Yeah, oh, and if you have an idea for a content, but you're not a content creator, become one right now. How dare you rob the world of your art? How dare you rob the world of your artistry?
Yes! Pop
Do
the
it
fuck
and
off,
be
Frog!
cringe about it.
Yeah!
Be cringe.
It's okay to have cringe moments to look back on, because that means that at least you did something worthy.
Isn't that cringe
You did
is so
something worth it.
subjective and it will change.
Yeah, and yeah. Yes. All right, Frog. Dude, this was an absolutely awesome episode. I'm very excited to edit this and get this out to people.
It was
Guys,
so cool.
yeah, I'm glad. Again, go check out frog_glasses on Twitch, on Instagram. In the description, there's gonna be a card link. And if you guys want to check out more of the Unmasked podcast, you can check us out at unmaskedpodcast.com. No, god damn it, unmaskedpodcast.podbean.com. There we go.
Wow.
Almost there. You can also find it on Google Podcasts, Podbean app, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Listen Notes, Samsung Podcast app, and also YouTube. You can check them out in any of those cool places. Throughout the summer, I'm going to be posting them about once a week. So yeah, go check it out. Check out any episodes that you haven't listened to. Check out the Twitter especially if there are people that you want to recommend for potential upcoming guests.
Whoop,
whoop. And with that, we shall catch you all later. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. And yeah, we'll see you later. Say goodbye, frog.
Bye.
Good.
Thank you for listening to the Magnus Archives.
Yeah.